so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I'm very proud, and I am a little bit biased. I tried to kill him, like, as he was growing up. How many of you have ever had a child that you wanted to kind of kill? I mean, you thought about it. You didn't do it. You just thought about it. And so I'm very proud of William. And his mama did a fantastic job. And William has the call of God on his life. The anointing of the Lord is upon his life. The favor of the Lord is upon his life to lead. And he has a heart and a passion for Opelousas and for this region and for students and young people. You know, when I can remember back when I was young in ministry, you make a lot of mistakes, but you see the passion and you coach and you work, and our future's bright for our student ministries in Opelousas and surrounding areas, and I'm very excited. And William and I are going to tag team a little bit today, so I wanted to give him a few minutes today to share his heart. Would you please welcome our student director, William Reisner.
Good morning. Good morning and good morning, everybody. Everybody doing all right today? Everybody doing well? Come on. Well, again, my name is William Reisner. So glad to be here today. Now, it is an honor and it's a privilege to be with you today, because normally it's just students and now it's adults as well. And it all comes full circle, doesn't it? Doesn't it? One day I'll share stories about him and about his faults and raising him. But today's not the day. It's coming. It's coming. But no, it's been an incredible week in that pursuit. Nobody slept ever. I way more candy than I can really that I care to admit, but it's been great. It's been really good. But thank you again for your generosity and for giving and being a part of that. You have a hand in pursuit. You have a hand in this.
Yep.
Just look at the faces, look at the shirts, look at these students. You played a part in this. So thank you so much, just from the bottom of my heart, for what you've done for this generation. So please give yourself a round of applause today. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Well, come on. Well, I'm ready to get started. Just got a little bit of vision for you, just kind of what we do here as a student ministry. So we don't have any notes because we're just freestyling today, y'all. We're just doing our thing. But we do three things as a student ministry. We gather, we connect, and we grow. Those are the three main things that we do: gather, connect, grow. And gather is, you saw it on the screen, it's our big student gathering night, and that's March 20th. The reason why we gather is because every student wants to be a part of something great, right? We all want to go to the big event that everybody's talking about, everybody wants to be a part of, everyone wants to have a great time at, right? You want to get pictures so you can post on Instagram, stuff you can show on Facebook so everybody can see and say, wow, they're living a great life, right? That's what gather's all about. We want students to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And then we connect, which is through relationship. So we have a thing called City Group, which is every Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Civic Center offices. If you are a student, if you know a student, please, I highly recommend attending, because not only do you worship and we have a short message, but you are connected with people who have similar situations that you might be facing or similar upbringings. And so you find relationship in that, because I believe that everybody wants to know, everybody wants to be loved, but everybody wants to be known too, right? Everybody wants to go somewhere where somebody knows their name. It's like Cheers. Citigroup is like Cheers, basically.
Without the alcohol. Okay.
Confirmed.
Make sure.
There will be none of that there. But no, it's where you go and where everybody knows your name. And if you're going for the first time, it's where people will learn your name. So whenever you come back, you are known. And then it just keeps building and circulating. And it's great. So we gather at the gathering the second Wednesday of every month. And we connect through city groups, and then we grow, okay? The vision is that not only students will be a part of student ministry and a part of Sunday mornings and be a part of the local church, but they will grow in their faith with Jesus,
yeah.
That they'll grow in their relationship with the Lord. So one day whenever they leave high school and they graduate and they go off to college, that their faith in Jesus wasn't reliant on the church, but their faith in Jesus was because they got connected to him.
Yeah.
That's all that this ministry is about. It's about connecting them to Jesus. So wherever they go, they have their faith is strong and they're ready to rock.
Yep.
So we are ready to, and we do that through small groups and through the dream team. And so city groups is a beautiful thing, and I highly recommend it tonight, 6 p.m. at the Civic Center. it is a beautiful thing because it's a two-for-one kind of deal, because we have small groups at city group. So you can connect and grow all in one night. And that's where relationships are formed, definitely. But it's also a place where you can be open and share your heart and the things that are going on in your life. And you can really just get rid of the things that were blocking you from seeing Jesus. You know, just the things that you've been holding in, the things that you've been holding back. It can help you see Jesus more clearly. So we gather, we connect, and we grow. It's a great thing, and my heart definitely is for students and student ministry and for the next generation and the schools in the area. They need Jesus. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. We need Jesus in our schools, but it's also for our dream team. I really love this team. Everybody who's a part of it, thank you once again for those who served at Pursuit, for those who serve regularly. You really are appreciated. This could not be done without you. Let's give them a round of applause one more time. So thankful for y'all, for real. It's a big deal. It's a big deal what y'all do. But thank you once again, and I believe that whenever you serve a student, it's not just about you. You know, like we talk about, hey, like you need to serve and you need to play a part in the church, which is 100% true. But what's beautiful about serving in students is that there's a face to it, and you get to see the growth that happens. And it's a step-by-step walking through life with. It's journeying through life with a student. And I believe that the greatest legacy you could ever leave isn't in your own life. The greatest legacy you could ever leave is in the life of somebody else.
Yeah.
To see somebody else succeed, to see somebody else grow. To whenever you're dead and gone and you're off with Jesus, that the people that you left behind on earth, they remember you not as just somebody who was always there, but someone who cared and who loved and helped them grow. That is the legacy that you want to have. That's the greatest legacy you could ever hope for, is in the life of somebody else. And I believe that's a very important part. And I'm very excited about what's next, is because we have two students right here on the front row who are going to come up. So y'all can, let's give it up for Wade and Bailey. Let's go for them. So Wade and Bailey, love that. Wade and Bailey, they're two role model students. They've been apart for a while. They went through Pursuit. And I just got a couple questions to ask them, you know, just to see, just to kind of give y'all a glimpse into the life of what happened this past weekend. So you good? Are you ready? Okay. This is a good, I'm setting you up. I'm teeing you up on this first question, okay? What time did you go to bed last night?
Last night or Friday? Yeah.
No, last night. What time did you go to bed last night?
Either 1:30 or 2, about that between there.
All right, 2 a.m., everybody. Let's hear it for them. We're just glad you're here.
What time did you go to bed Friday night?
Yeah.
Hold that mic up close. What time did you go to bed?
I didn't go to bed. We just, not party, but like hung out the whole night, had fun, laughed a lot, that's for sure.
With Jesus. With Jesus. I love that. Bailey. Tell me, what time did you go to bed last night?
Last night, probably 1:32, and the night before that, like 3.
Oh. Everybody stretch your hands towards them right now. Oh, that makes me nervous. All right. Well, Bailey, so tell me, like, what has God shown you in Pursuit this past weekend?
In Pursuit as a whole, he's just taught me about my, like, being okay with not knowing what your purpose is just yet, because it's a certain season and a certain time in your life, and even if you may not feel, oh, by now I should know what to do, God is going to place that in your heart as to what to do.
Love that.
And to just study and pray in your Bible with that. And are you really wanting to do it to spend time with God, or just take it off as just a checklist? And so, yes.
Love that. That's good.
It's very good.
Wade, what about you, man? What has God showed you this weekend? Mic up to the chin. Come on, you got it.
What came through to me with God was like, before you're created in your mom's womb, whatever you want to call it.
a womb.
It's a womb.
Confirmed.
He has a plan for you. Like today, he knew that I was going to come on stage or something like that. He knew that you're going to sit next to your friend. He knew that this weekend he's going to get to you and you're going to turn into a life-changing friend for other friends. And that really came to me because, like, pursuit came at, let's see.
You got it. It's okay. It's going to be all right.
It told me that God doesn't care if you love him or not. He will always love you and always have a good plan for you in the future.
Love that. Let's go.
All right.
I got one more. All right. For all the students out there, tell them why they need to go to Pursuit. Why they should go next year.
Next year?
Yeah.
Y'all need to go to Pursuit. Y'all have like fun. Y'all ain't going to go to sleep, but y'all going to have fun and learn about Jesus. And then you're going to have parties at church. And then you're going to eat. Chicken salad sandwich wasn't too good. But besides that, it's fun.
I'm dead. Okay. All right.
You should go to Pursuit. Because it really gives you a sense of identity in a way, and it helps you connect to other people outside of your family, like a spiritual family. And it gives you people to be held accountable for and also hold you accountable for things in your life. And you can always lean on them and go to, even if you're feeling like alone in situations, they'll always be there for you.
Love that. That's a great job. Well, hey, thank y'all so much. You can bring that down there. Thank y'all so much. Well, hey. Yeah, we're good.
Give it up for William Bailey. Wade. Well, looks like Wade's got a little preach up on him, doesn't he? He started crying in the middle of a service. He started thinking about that chicken salad sandwich, started crying. Don't do that again. One more time. Let our students hear you. We love them. We're so excited. We're proud of them. Oh, we're so excited. Let me just share just a quick word with you. I got about 23 minutes, and I want to get you out on time. But I wanted you to hear, this is part of our series. We're doing a series called Prepare. And if we're not preparing the next generation, then we're not doing our job. Can I get an amen from this congregation? But we got to prepare. We got to get ready. I want to just start off by saying this to you. When you go to the Word, Jesus puts things in the Word. God puts things in His Word that are there for a reason. And I want to look at one of those stories today, and I just want to talk to you as we get prepared. And you go, prepare. What are you preparing us for? I'm preparing you for, we've got 19 more Sundays in Opelousas High School. 19. We're not even in the 20s anymore, baby. We're teenagers. We're going backwards. I met with Kevin this week, and we started looking at the calendar. Because of summer, we don't have to set up and break down, that we're down to only 9 more setups and breakdowns. No, I said there's only 9 left in Jesus' name. So what am I preparing you for? I'm preparing you for the doors opening to the brand new facility. What do I, Pastor, say, Pastor, you, what do you think is going to happen when we open? Ask me. I'm so glad you asked me that question. I'm not for certain, but I can tell you my expectation. My expectation is that we're going to double overnight. That's my expectation. What does that mean? That we better be ready, we better be prepared for that opening so that when it does come, that we're prepared. If harvest is going to come and you're not prepared for it, then you know what happens if you don't get harvest into a barn? You know what if you have to leave the harvest outside? What happens if it stays in the rain? It rots. And God's going to give us an opportunity, and we better be prepared for it. We better be ready for it. I want you sober. It's not, yay, it's, oh God. What do we got to do to get ready? And I want to show you in the scripture. I want to help you a little bit today. I want to tell you, I preached it to your kids last night, to your young people. I preached it to them, but I want to give it just a little different slant for you. And so I want to take you to the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 1. And I'll start there. And then I want to just remind you that when God put the Word together, the authors of the Word wrote it, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so the details are in there on purpose, and we're going to look at a donkey. We're going to look at a lesson from a donkey. A donkey is going to teach you today. So here we go. So I wanted to go to Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 11. And I want you, as Jesus and his disciples approach Jerusalem, I'll give you a little context. Jesus is about to enter, we call it the triumphant entry. He's about to ride from the Mount of Olives. He's going to go down the valley through the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to ride up on the other side to the Temple Mount where the temple was. And I've been there. Heidi and I have been there. Lestrap family, I see them. We've been there. We've seen it. It's about a half a mile across the valley where you can see it. From the Temple Mount, you can see the Mount of Olives. From the Mount of Olives, you can see the Temple Mount. We've actually walked down from the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then it goes up to the other side to the Temple Mount. Jesus is about to get on this little donkey, and he's going to ride down it. They're going to shout Hosanna. We call it Palm Sunday. And he's going to walk through a gate. The gate he's going to walk through to go to the temple is a gate that is reserved for when you have a sacrifice to bring to God for to cover your sins. That's the gate you go through. You don't go through that gate unless you have a sacrifice. Jesus is going to ride this little donkey all the way down through the Garden of Gethsemane, back on the other side, and he's going to go through that gate. But he doesn't bring a sacrifice. Why? He is the sacrifice. He's going to walk through that gate because he's getting prepared to give his life on a cross. So he's going to do that. So I want to pick up that story and bring the little donkey into the story. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead, and he said, I want you to go into the village, he told them, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. That's very important. A young donkey tied there that has never been ridden. I want you to untie it, and then I want you to bring it here. And if anyone asks, what are you doing? You just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. Now, just to give you some context, in biblical times, if you had a donkey, you were ballin'. You were lit. Any other cool word? You were groovy. Keep on trucking. Peace, man. If you had a donkey in biblical times, you were wealthy. It was a beast of burden. You could hook a cart to a donkey, move commerce from one place to another. Not everybody had donkeys. It cost money. They were as valuable as gold, that if you had a donkey, it was a place that you could be prosperous. You used the donkey for industry. And so if you had a donkey, it was a very, very valuable thing. And so he's telling them, I want you to go ahead. You're going to find a donkey there. Never been ridden. Very important. It's never been ridden. I want you to untie it. If anybody asks you what you're doing, I want you to tell them that the Lord has need of them. A donkey back in Bible days was equivalent today to having a very big pickup truck. Anybody have a big pickup truck? You ever notice you get phone calls if you have a pickup truck? Hey, man, I was wondering, can you help us move on Saturday? I mean, people always want to use you. And so I can't imagine getting a donkey. You know, if you had a donkey back in those days, the equivalent of having an automobile when people didn't have automobiles. I mean, people would notice it. Ooh, who got a new donkey? Look at that new donkey. Hey, whose new donkey is that out there? You go, that's my new donkey. Oh, what year is your donkey? Well, it's 3 AD. Man, how many miles on it? Oh, no, it's brand new. Man, still got that new donkey smell. I love it. Oh, man, I love that, man. I got the scent all in my house. I spray it. New donkey scent. Watch what happens. Verse 4. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street. They found him. Tied outside the front door as they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing? Hey. What are you doing untying that donkey? And they said what Jesus had told them, which was what? The Lord has what? The Lord has need of it. And they were permitted to take it. That's odd, isn't it? I mean, what if you walked outside to your pickup truck after church and your door was open and there was somebody hot wiring it. And you said, hey, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And you go, okay, bring it back. They brought the colt to Jesus. He throws his garments over it and he sat on it. Many in the crowd, he begins to go from the mount down the valley. We walked down it, very steep. Jesus rode this colt that had never been ridden. The people gathered shouting, Hosanna, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, blessings on the kingdom of God, our ancestor David, praise God in the highest heavens. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. Now we know it is a triumphant entry, but I want to just look at a few lessons from this, some lessons we can learn from this little colt that's never been ridden. Number one, I'll just give you three thoughts real quick. Number one, he was available. Everybody say available. Yeah, here's the question I would ask you. What is holding you back? Are you available? Are you available? Are you as we're talking about, as we're getting prepared for something, right? Are you available? I mean, I asked you young people last night, and you parents ought to throw money at me, actually. I said, are you available? Listen, it's real hard to pursue Jesus and Jennifer at the same time. Parents, did you hear what I said? It's hard to pursue both. What's keeping you tied to the post? Most of us these days, it's because we're busy. We're just so busy. Well, Pastor, you keep talking about leading small groups, but we're just busy. Look at me. We're about to blow a hole up in this community when that new facility opens. Listen to me. You don't want to miss being a part of the opportunity that God is about to give you. Are you available? Are you there? What keeps you tied up? Fear, anxiety. I mean, what? Remember, he's never been ridden. He's never done this before. And so, first of all, just are you available? The question not is, will God use you? The question, I can just give you the answer to that. The question is, he always wants to use you. He wants to use you. The question is, are you usable? Are you willing to untie from whatever's holding you back? Whatever's holding you back. I'm so proud of those who've walked through freedom and gone through our freedom group. Can I hear you if you've been through freedom? So proud of you. All you were doing was untying yourself so you could be available to be used by the Lord. Give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Praise for yourself. I'm so proud of you. Let me give you number two, this little donkey. One, he was available. Number two, he was submissive. Say that with me. Ooh, say it again. Submissive. Ooh, say it again. It's a word we don't really like, is to submit. Submissive. Remember, he's never been ridden. Remember, he's willing to receive a burden that he's never felt before. Are you willing to receive a burden that you've never felt before? Are you willing to receive a burden that you've never felt before? Are you willing to receive a burden that you've never felt before? Are you willing to receive a burden that you've never felt before? I used to think, and by the way, the will of God for your life is a little overrated. What's the will of God? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm praying, God, what's your will? I don't know. Is it your will? I started thinking about this. Young people, I wish I would have told you last night, but because sometimes I do that as a pastor. I'll preach a message, and then I'll go home, and I go, man, I should have told them this. But how many of you know, because you're here today, I get to tell you anyway. And so I get to tell you something I didn't tell you last night. I just remember giving my heart to Jesus when I gave my heart to the Lord. I did tell you last night about when I gave my heart to the Lord, I had to untie from an old relationship that I had, because back in those days, I was in a band. Back in the day when I was like your age, I was in a band. And like, I was really cool, and I just knew I was going to be famous. I just knew it. I was going to be like the man. It was really awesome because I was like the singer, the lead singer of the band. So I had it going on back in the day, y'all. And so I was like the lead singer of the band. So, you know, I would just sing, you know, oh, baby, give me one more chance. Anyway, and we started getting popular in our community and city and stuff. And then my drummer, who I've known since I was in fifth grade, came over. And when I got saved, I knew I had to untie from that. I couldn't be in both worlds. I couldn't be in the church on Sunday and out in the bars on Saturday. I just knew I couldn't. Not if God was going to use me. If I was going to be available, I had to. And my friend came over to the house and goes, hey, man, dude, it's cool. I said, no, I got to quit the band. He goes, no, dude, you can't quit the band. Man, we've been singing since we were 5 and 6 years old. Dude, you can't quit the band. I said, I have to quit the band. He goes, dude, we're about to be famous. I was like, I know. I'd rather make God famous than me be famous. I'd rather make God famous than me be famous. And he said, no, dude, you can't quit. He goes, I got an idea. You know how the enemy, he'll try to make you compromise? Look, dude, this is what we'll do. We'll learn church songs too. So on Saturday night, we'll do the gigs, and then on Sunday, we'll come and play at the church. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it, man. He said, dude, if you can't, then we can't be friends anymore. This is going to change our relationship. And I just went, you know what? Sometimes you got to untie from some of those relationships. Sometimes you just got to untie and just go, man, I love you. I'll always love you. But I got to pursue God. I got to be available to him. I got saved. I can't even remember. I just walked in. Young people, listen carefully. And old people. Young and old people. Because if you're not one of the young people, guess where that leaves you? What group that leaves you in? The old people. Okay. So I remember I got saved. I walked in my pastor's office. He goes, you know what you need to do? And I said, no, what? I don't know. He said, what are you going to do with your life? I said, I have no idea. What's God's will? I don't know. I'm just happy. I'm just saved. He goes, you need to go to Bible college. Okay, let's go. I went. I didn't know. I get to Bible college. I meet Heidi there. Hey, she fine. I meet Heidi there. He goes, what am I doing here? What are you doing here? I don't know. Everybody's training to be pastors. Are you a pastor? I don't know. I mean, nobody told me I was a pastor. So I end up leaving. I end up going to California to play baseball. I go to California. I feel like I was supposed to go to California. I go to California. Heidi and I had broken up. Then God speaks to me and goes, you need to go back. I said, well, I go back. Okay, I'll go back. I'm called to be a preacher, so I'll go back. God said, you were where you were supposed to be the entire time, you idiot. Okay, I'll go back. Even if you get off course, God will speak to you, get you back on course. You just got to submit. Just be submissive. Just go, okay, then that must be what God wants me to do. So I go back. I think God, one, wanted to call me back into preaching and go back, but he also wanted me to go back to get her, which I did. And so we go back, and then you go from there, and then you go, what are we going to do now? I don't know. Somebody offered me an opportunity to go for a job. Nobody else offered me an opportunity. Was it the will of God? It was the only step I had. I don't know. I'll just take the step. I'm in New Orleans. What am I doing in New Orleans? I'm learning about y'all. That's what I'm doing. I'm just learning, hiding out in New Orleans. We get fired. How many know when you get fired, you need to take the next step? How many know that? That's a pretty good clue, right? How many of you know when you get fired, the Lord is saying your season is over here? Yeah, so I got fired. And then one opportunity opened. And what? Two opportunities, three opportunities. So we moved to Texas. And then we moved to Texas. Then we moved to Houston. And we get moved to Houston. Then we started inner city church. We don't know. We're supposed to do it. How do you go? Are we supposed to do this? How are we going to do it? I don't know. But God's opening the door. So let's just open the door. And so we opened the door. We're in the inner city of Houston. We've never been in an inner city before. We don't know what it's like. Now we are. Now we're in the middle of the inner city. Then Pastor Jacob calls. He goes, well, I want you to come to Lafayette. I go, I don't want to come to Lafayette. He goes, but I want you to come to Lafayette. You pray about it. I go, no, you pray about it. I ain't praying about it. You fast about it. I ain't fasting. You fast. I ain't going to fast. I'm not skipping no meals. Why don't y'all come over here? We go, okay, fine. God said, come. So we come. We get here. We go, okay, what do we do? We're going to help them. We help them. We start planting churches. Bah, 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 bah. Somebody, the bad uns called. They go, let's go to Opelousa. We need something to Opelousa. Who's going to go to Opelousa? I don't know. I ain't going to Opelousa. Go get the Opelousa started. Okay, I'll get the Opelousa started. We get over here to Opelousa. And we go, what are we going to do in Opelousa? I don't know. We're going to do in Opelousa. He goes, why do y'all feel? Well, our hearts start stirring. We're supposed to be in Opelousa. It took us 44 years to figure out the will of God. It's no secret. Just be submissive to the next step that God asks you to take. Just what's the next step? Look, if you'd have asked me this 30 years ago, what do you want to do? Opelousas. I didn't even know Opelousas existed. But finally, you go, wait a minute. And Heidi and I have had many conversations like this going, this is what we were called to do. And God took us all 30 years to teach us things, to get us prepared for this very moment that we're now in. Listen to me. All you have to do is be submissive to the very next step. And there is a next step for every single one of you in this room. You just got to go, what's the next step? What do I need to do? Isn't it funny how we created steps for you to take? If you haven't gone through Growth Track yet, you need to go through Growth Track. I haven't gone that yet. Do you need to go? Okay, what do I do after that? Have you been in a small group? No, I haven't been in a small group. Then you need to go. You've been in a small group for 4 years now, and you go, I love it. It's so fun. Hey, how about leading a small group? I haven't done that yet. But I'll be submissive to whatever God asks me to do. Is anybody hearing me this morning to go, what is your next step? And let me give you number three real quick. Let me give you number three. Vic's going to help me. Number three, he says this. And by the way, parents, I did tell your young people, listen, if you can't be submissive to the mother and father that you can see, you'll never be submissive to the God that you can't see. Just send the checks to Pastor Eugene Reisner. I also told him, hey, if you can't clean your room, you'll never change the world. You're welcome. Let me give you number three. Let me give you this lesson, this little donkey. Number three, let me give you, in closing, he was very courageous. He's never done this before. I've never done this before. I've never done it before. It's going to take some guts. Just some guts. I'll never forget Elizabeth, Heidi's and our assistant. She catches me in between services one Sunday or whatever. Talk to Heidi first. And Heidi goes, you need to get with Elizabeth. Elizabeth goes, you know, she's a young woman. She goes, I just really felt like the Lord gave me a word. I said, well, hit me. He just said, and she just, and she goes, I just thought you needed to hear that. Maybe you can tell the people. I go, I ain't telling them. God didn't tell me. He told you. What do you mean? You're going to tell them. And I brought her up here, and she goes, I just felt like she stood up here with boldness. You know how much courage that took to step up here before all of y'all? You know how much courage it took for Wade and Bailey to stand up and go? And by the way, they did a lot better. We were back in the green room. I go, come on, give it to me first. Let me hear it first. And they tell me, and I go, oh, dear Lord. And then they get up here with the courage. The courage. Can I tell you, every step of the way, what makes a boy to man? What's the difference between a boy and a man? What's the difference between a girl and a woman? I can tell you. It's courage. to take on the responsibility. Now, let me show you this real quick. Let me show you this. This is so cool. Do you know this story is one of the few that's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I think that's on purpose too, that God wanted you to see how important this little story about this little donkey was. He wanted you to see it. He wanted to make sure it was in all four. So it didn't matter if you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, that he wanted to make sure whichever one you were reading, you got this story. And then he goes on in Matthew. Let me read the Matthew account. See if you can tell the difference in the stories. Matthew 21, verse 1 through 3. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them. First story I read to you, how many donkeys were in the story? Just one. How many donkeys are in this story? There's two donkeys. I want you to untie them. If anyone says anything to you, you say that the Lord has need of them, and we will send them back right away. I think that speaks of the generations. There's two generations. There's one with experience. There's one that has experience. There's one who's practiced, who's carried burdens. There's one who's already walked through. There's one who's been available. There's one who showed courage. There's already one who has been submissive. There's already one who's already done it. They've been there. They've done it. They got the T-shirt. They've got scars on their back. They've already done it. What am I saying to you? Jesus has a choice. If I'm Jesus, I'm choosing the one with experience. What does God choose? The one with none. Pastor, I'm scared. When you talking about leading a small group, I'm like, I'm scared. Yeah, I know. But if you want God to use you, you're going to have to be available. You're going to have to be submissive. And it's going to take great courage. Or you'll never take the next step. Got to have some courage. That's the difference between boys and men, girls and women. They're willing to take courage. Courage doesn't mean absence of fear. No. The only reason why you need courage is because you're facing fear. You face the fear, and then you got to have the courage to defeat the fear. Are y'all with me today? What's the next step God's asking you to take? Are you available? Are you available? What's keeping you tied up? For some of you, this relationship needs to end. You need to have that same conversation I had over 35 years ago. You need to have that kind of relationship. Some of you have been worried more about your image on Facebook than you've been the image of God. I can tell by reading your Facebook accounts. You're more concerned about your image than you are God's image. We got to get ready. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. The question is, are you usable? The Lord has need of you. No. Keep tied up. I'm not willing to take on a burden. I got my own life. This is our opportunity. He's coming. I want you to be ready. I want to pray for you right now. Bow your heads. Holy Spirit, you can put your finger on every part of our life. I pray for the supernatural hearing, that they hear the other voice. Not just my voice, but they hear your Holy Spirit's voice. There's some relationships that need to end. We've been living in two worlds. Some relationships that need to end. Some relationships that need to end. It's been keeping you tied up from going all in. Father, there's some submissive issues that really we didn't trust you. I'm sure you whispered to that colt, "You got this. I'm with you. Fear not." What's your next step? And then thirdly, it's going to take some courage. Holy Spirit, fill us fresh and anew right now where we sat. Would you say that? Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. He promised us that he would give us boldness and power. Give us boldness and power. Would you ask him, "Lord, give me boldness and power. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today. I need you." Father, we receive your word today. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians, you're praying for your row. And you're here today. And you may be far from God today. And so today, I just want to ask you a simple question. You might be hearing my voice today. And you're not sure if you're right from God. In fact, if you died today, you're not even sure where you'd spend eternity. Whether you'd be in heaven or whether you'd be in hell. You're not even sure. Jesus said this, you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. You have to be born again. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. And you go, "Pastor, you, but I've been christened, I've been baptized, I'm a member of our Savior's church." Listen, being a member of our Savior's church won't get you to heaven. Only those who have been born again, those who've asked Christ into their heart to cover their sins, to be the Lord of their life, made him the boss of their life, only those who've repented and been born again. And you go, "Pastor, you, how do I be born again?" It's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Christ came alone. It was him. That's Easter. We'll celebrate it in just a few weeks. We'll celebrate his sacrifice on a cross to take your guilt, your sin, and your shame. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you want to be born again, this is your invitation to be born again. I want to pray for you right now. Christians, again, you're praying, every head bowed, eye closed but mine. Here's what I want you to do. If you say, "Oh, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to make Jesus the boss of my life. I need to turn my life over to God." I want to pray for you right now. Would you just hold your hand up high all over this building? No one's looking but me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. 1, 2, and 3. Hold up high. Thank you. 4, 5. Thank you. Looking to my left, thank you. Look at the bottom, 6 and 7 and 8. Anybody else want to give you one more second? Hold up high just for a second. Thank you, sir. 9, thank you, thank you. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Would you say this out loud with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise, glory, honor?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.